All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
You're watching Oilers Nation every day with Tyler Yaremchuk, your one-stop shop for all things Oilers.
Connor McDavid is day-to-day. Let's do our own research and figure out why with the lead. Welcome into Oilers Nation every day, live from the Sports Closet studio and live on the Oilers Nation YouTube. Check them out online, sportscloset.ca. They also got three locations in the Edmonton area, St. Albert Mall, Sherwood Park Mall, and Kingsway Mall. We got a full show loaded up for you today. I believe Jason Demers, I think we got on the same page with Jason. What is it? What's this? You have a little like a little washer.
So look.
Okay. Golden Retriever mindset. We've already been distracted by whatever that anything. Is. Could be anything. Yeah, Jason Demers will swing by. We got a short four giant question to get into as well. And some interesting news out of morning skate today with the Edmonton Oilers. So, Liam.
I don't want to talk about it. If we don't address it, it didn't happen.
I mean, we'll go through the six stages of grief. Right now, we're in denial.
Okay.
Connor McDavid's not hurt. Why was he not there? I saw Dangerous Wade tweeted bag milk, said jury duty. That's one.
Could you imagine?
Our girl Kennedy tweeted, did he look into the eclipse yesterday? Totally possible.
Jack Hughes did.
Really?
Yep.
Goddamn Jack Hughes. Maybe Connor McDavid is such a big fan of the eclipse that he's one of those people that travels around to go see it. So he like flew back to Toronto, drove to Hamilton because it was a good site in Hamilton.
Cleveland was a big spot for
Cleveland. Maybe Connor McDavid's in Cleveland. He went to go watch the eclipse. That's possible. A whole bunch of ways. Okay, so that's denial. Now
the other four stages.
One of them I think is bargaining. Zach Hyman can be hurt. I'll take that over McDavid. He might be. Why couldn't Matthias Janmark be hurt? Maybe that's a better one. I would trade the entire fourth line being hurt for Connor McDavid's health.
I would play with nine forwards if him and Connor McDavid was healthy.
I would do anything.
Mm-hmm. So
I would do every show like Winnie the Pooh, just wearing a long t-shirt with no pants. If it meant Connor McDavid could be back in the lineup.
I hope he is back in the lineup.
Fighting Amish, Connor's waiting on his cable guy. That is an annoying process.
It can be frustrating.
Honestly, that is something that could keep you out for back-to-back days of work. Yes.
So, I mean, could be back tomorrow.
He could be.
Was there anything that indicated what this could have been?
No, there's not. But we'll get to the acceptance stage of whatever the hell we're doing right now and just talk about what's going on here. It's our lineup report, and it's brought to you by Service Credit Union. There's only 1 month left in the Service Big Share contest. Don't miss your chance to win $1 million. Anyone can enter by becoming a member and saving with Service. Every $500 saved gives you five entries into the Service Big Share contest. Contest ends April 30th. Skill test required for rules. Visit service.ca/win. First, we got the news today. Dylan Holloway is coming back up. That's great news. That was exciting. News. That lifted my spirit.
Earned his opportunity to get back in the lineup.
Scored a hat trick the other day with the Bakersfield Condors. Giddy up.
10 goals, 16 points, 18 games. Like,
that's really good.
Hey, can't ask for much more.
Mm-hmm.
Him. So it looks like he's just done really well while he's down there. And this is probably a good time to call him up. A lot of games over this next couple of weeks.
A lot of games, a lot of back-to-backs. You're going to have a lot of guys you maybe want to rest. Gregor touched on it here. Any player with a nagging issue will get a rest. And that's a great way to handle things down the stretch here if you're the Edmonton Oilers. The kind of second part of the problem, again, coming to the acceptance stage of things, Connor McDavid, day to day. Okay, there is no one clear-cut injury for Connor McDavid. There was not a point where we've seen him go off limping, go down the tunnel, block a shot like a Zach Hyman did. Like, if this was Zach Hyman who was out and not on the ice the last 2 days, maybe I would be, like, more concerned, because it's like, you can sit there and say, whoa, he blocked that Bouchard shot or got that Bouchard shot off the side of his foot after a couple of days. If it's not healing right, maybe there's more issues, whatever. With McDavid, day to day right now, they haven't even said whether or not he's going to be missing next game. Like, again, if it was an illness, they would probably come out and say McDavid's sick, don't panic. So there's clearly something wrong or something nagging him. But again, just the fact that there hasn't been one identifiable play that you can look at and go, that is where he got hurt, that is where the concern stems from, that leads me to feel comfortable going, it's a minor thing.
Yeah, me too. And I mean, it must be enough for him to be out for practice. Like, for him to miss practice is a big deal, though.
Yep.
Like, he's not that kind of guy, is he? So, yeah, I'm not too worried about it. I mean, I do think he'll play tomorrow. And then maybe he just misses the Arizona game on Friday. More?
Wilkie says lower body injury.
Oh, well.
Thanks, Wilkie.
It could be anything.
Could be anything.
Where
anything.
Is the lower body?
I think belly button down.
Really?
Yeah, because hips would be a lower body injury.
Yeah, I was thinking.
And then like chest would be upper body.
Torso down.
Belly button down, please. I want you to say belly button. No.
Belly button.
Thank you. Belly button down. Lower body. So this could be anything.
Like, he's definitely gone into the boards awkwardly sometimes. Like, he's always taking those little random little hits behind the play and stuff, isn't it? It's interesting. Which one?
Good and you. I think they're trying the LTIR trick, but forgot to do it before the deadline. Listen, everyone's doing it.
Especially Vegas.
Yeah. Thomas Hurdle returned to the lineup last night. Yeah,
didn't
okay.
do us any favors, though. We all freaked out when he got acquired, and then they couldn't get a damn win against Vancouver.
When we needed them most.
That would be so interesting, wouldn't it? It's hindsight's 2020 always, but Vancouver wins last night. Vegas wins last night. The Oilers still within three. Does Holloway get called up? Does McDavid go day to day?
Domino effect. Yeah. Do the math, everybody. So anyways, Holloway's up. McDavid's out. I don't think this is serious, but obviously if he's not going to be able to play tomorrow against Vegas and we don't even know about that, that's one of your big games in hand against the Vancouver Canucks. You're five back, two games in hand and a head-to-head matchup. Beating Vegas becomes a whole heck of a lot more difficult without 97 in the lineup. So that's where the concern comes from. McDavid not being able to play the next game or two, definitely it's a massive hit for your chances of winning the division.
Totally. And I guess there's a 6-point gap on LA now for the Oilers and a 7-point gap on Vegas, but LA have a super easy schedule down the stretch and the Oilers have three very difficult games, and I'll say one of those Yotes games is going to be a lot tougher than expected. Yep. Don't want to take it for granted, but you've also got to just believe in your guys. Like, Leon Draisaitl is one of the best players in the NHL. Evan Bouchard has been unreal.
Draisaitl new Timon is still a hell of a top line.
Most people pray for lines like that.
Yep.
And then a second line of Henry, Kane, and Fogel, is it?
Correct.
Not horrible.
No, I think it's relatively okay.
Yeah. Third line, Holloway, McLeod, Perry.
Could be worse.
Fourth line.
Holloway getting a chance to play with McLeod, actually play with some more speed, skill, not just burning him on the fourth line.
We saw that line, didn't we?
We did at one
against
point.
Vegas, actually. Last time we saw that line was Vegas, coming out of the All-Star break.
Oh, yeah.
They played really well, and then we never saw it again.
Yanmark, Carrick, Ryan, and Brown rotating on the right side. Should be Connor Brown, considering he scored last game. Blue line stays the same. Skinner in the starter's crease at Oilers Skate this morning. Predictably, he should get the start tomorrow as the Oilers host the Vegas Golden Knights. So there's your lineup from Bob Stauffer and what things are looking like. So let's roll this, Liam, out of the Service Credit Union lineup report and into the Sherwood Ford Giant question of the day, which is, do you agree with where they're putting Dylan Holloway here? Do you like this spot? Would you have maybe slid him up the lineup? Because what you could have done,
I know
there was an option here to keep a third line that's humming together. Kane, McLeod, Perry coming off a very, very good weekend against both the Avs and the Flames. That second line wasn't terrible. Could have kept Henrik, Nugent, Fogle together. And you could have just said, hey, throw him off the deep end. 10 goals in 18 American League games coming off that hat trick. Dylan Holloway, you're clearly confident. Let's go. Let's see what you got.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of thought about that when it just came up then too. Like, for me, Dylan Holloway, is confidence is all about momentum, right? Seems like when he gets rolling, he's kind of hard to stop. Unfortunately, we just haven't seen that a lot in the NHL. How do we have a Don Imus comment in this moment in time?
Well, we were just talking about him and his contract, so.
Yes, how can I forget? So, yeah, I think I would have been a good spot to have him, but I guess this eases him into the lineup a little bit. And I mean, hey, like, that second and third line, there's not a ton difference between them, so I can't imagine the playing time would vary too much, and maybe Kane's going to get some power play time with McDavid out, I would assume. That'll be another interesting thing, how the power play kind of shapes up now. Like, how is Evan Bouchard going to be as, like, the quarterback? As the guy, like,
yeah,
he plays the top, of course, but McDavid's the quarterback of the power play.
Yeah, the power play will be interesting to watch, see who gets moved up into that top unit as well, or maybe they just sit there and kind of roll with two D-men, just keep Ekholm and Bouchard on the ice. Ekholm's been playing good offensive hockey as of late.
No, you know, I would put Kane on there.
Really?
But I wouldn't put him as, like they do it sometimes where he just stands there when he goes on the top unit. Like, they put it so it's like Hyman is the one screen and he's a bit more of a high screen, right? I think you have to use his shot a lot more. Like, see if he can rip a one-timer from the other side.
But that's why I almost don't mind having him in the middle of the ice, is to see if you can get a quick one-timer off and just throw that extra look out there.
You have Kane and Dry. Nuge set him up, maybe. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. We haven't seen that, so I'm just speculating.
Yeah, the power play will be interesting if indeed there's no Connor McDavid going tomorrow. I also, again, missing back-to-back days. It's late in the season. Missing two straight skates, I think, in January, February would always leave me being a little like, okay, maybe you just give him a day off. This late in the year, I think with guys dealing with as many bumps and bruises as they are, I still wouldn't be surprised if McDavid's in the lineup tomorrow.
Me neither. He probably won't even take morning skate. We probably won't know until warm-ups. He might even take warm-ups and not play.
Yeah.
Good.
That's fair as well.
Stetcher does it all the time.
Yeah, when's Troy Stetcher going to get back into a game is another great question. Let's just keep going. Sherwood Ford Giant question brought to you by not just our friends at Sherwood Ford the Giant, but Sherwood Power Sports and Marine as well. It's now open. It's the exclusive spot in Sherwood Park for all things Yamaha. And we'll have some exciting news about potentially a thing we're doing with Sherwood Power Sports and Marine coming up next week, right in the heart of Sherwood Park with that sleek all-black exterior. Everything you love about using Sherwood Ford the Giant as your next car dealership, you're going to love about using Sherwood Power Sports and Marine as your spot to get your boat, ATV, side-by-side, whatever you're in the market for to make this summer amazing and unforgettable. Sherwood Power Sports and Marine can help you out. A second part to the Giant question, if you will, Liam. Is there a chance Dylan Holloway does enough in this little call-up to actually earn a permanent spot in the lineup heading into the playoffs?
Definitely. I think his absence has actually been quite obvious.
Really?
I think his speed has been very noticeable. It's not been there, especially on that third line on some nights. I don't know where they would put him in the lineup, but I think he brings a lot of positivity to it. But again, it's just about how can he maintain his offensive game in the NHL? Like, this is his biggest test now, because everybody is kind of like backing him, being like, call him up, call him up, call him up. If you come up and fail's a harsh word. But if you come up
and you're not impactful,
like, maybe you do just belong in the American League for the rest of the way into the playoffs at Bakersfield in the playoffs. I think so. Next season is going to be huge for him, but right now, this is the moment for Holloway. This is his biggest opportunity, I think. There's more on on Connor McDavid.
There's more?
More news.
What is Knobloch just sitting there in silence for 10 minutes and then he just throws something out?
Well, he said Gene tweeted, so discomfort for the last 5 minutes of the Flames game. Someone posted.
Is the discomfort having to be in the saddle dome? Because that's uncomfortable.
I'm just watching a video now. Oh, a brick fell on his head.
No, it's lower body.
Sorry.
A brick fell on his belly button.
On his lower belly button. That's too bad.
Yeah, let's go see what you guys are saying. Your answers to the Sherwood for the Giant, or Sherwood for Giant question of the day. Maynard Nugent, Spivey. I know that's what your farm is for, but the Condors are kind of getting screwed. I mean, yeah, that's life.
QF Pro.
If he comes up and gets 5 minutes, I'll be mad at management. Will I. BMAC said the speed in Holloway is important for the depth in the bottom six. I'm with you, dude. 100%. Naeem, all you're asking for him is to be better than zero impact, which is what Janmark and Ryan are currently.
I would disagree. They literally
connected for the game winning goal or go ahead goal.
Go ahead goal when he made it 2-1, I think, against Calgary.
Yeah.
They've been playing well. Like, I think sometimes we forget they're on the fourth line. They play like 8 minutes. It's hard to be impactful every night.
We talked to Jason DeBurs about that last week. It's hard to just be sitting on the bench and then get tapped and be like, go play.
Go ahead. So the fact they went out there and got a point, I think that's good. Even if it's every like five games.
Yeah. Rome is in after his comment about Darnell Nurse said, sorry, I miss Klim Kostin.
Fair enough.
I think he's commenting like, you know, sometimes people will tune in and be like, hey, I'm 20 minutes behind, but I'm going to keep dropping my comments. He's 6.5 months behind. He's watching a show from like September. And he's just like, shit, yeah, Darnell Nurse had a bad preseason game. God, they missed Klim's toughness. Me and you doing a season preview with Bagged Milk. And he's like, I got to get some comments off on this. Mistaken Mexican is in and says, as long as the fourth line isn't giving anything up, we should be happy. I think that's interesting. Ryan says Ryan and Janmark also draw penalties, which is huge.
Especially Ryan, because he gets absolutely mauled on somebody.
Yeah.
Well, here's a question, Tyler. And you might know this a bit better than me. So Mistaken Mexican said, what was it? Sorry, that as long as they don't get scored on.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting because that fourth line goes out for defensive draws quite often.
Yeah, I got something.
So
in my
is
eye.
It fair to judge them on that? Rather than being like, get like what I'm saying is if they come off the bench, turn the puck over in the offensive zone, they come down the other end and score. That's so much different than being like losing a draw and then them scoring on like a slap shot or something like that. You know what I mean?
Oh God, there's something in my eye. It's so bad.
Eyeball. It's an eyeball.
I know what you mean, Liam.
Yes.
I know what you mean.
Are we going to be okay here?
I've also, while we let Tyler do this, actually here, I'll pop on and say hello, but just I got.
Close your eyes for 10 seconds.
I just grabbed some tweets that you were talking about. DNB. McDavid lower body didn't play the last 5 minutes in the Calgary game. This is how you kill time on live TV while your boy tries to get his eye fixed. And then there's the Gene tweet. As he said, McDavid, not on the ice today, day to day, felt discomfort the last 5 minutes. I didn't notice that when I was at Greta. I mean, I was trying to get the show live and ready to go, but yeah, I didn't notice any of that. Did you guys?
I was bowling.
So was Pat Puff, actually.
So it was a big bowling weekend for Oilers Nation. Oh, how are we doing over here?
I'm just so upset Connors wasn't on the ice to practice. He just wants to practice with his friends. I know. Why can't he be out there with his friends?
We're not supposed to acknowledge this stuff on live television.
Oh, God, that hurt.
You looked like you were in pain.
Yeah, and I can't stop crying.
Have I ever told the story on the show about when Tyler called out me swearing on college radio?
No, what? I don't even remember.
So NR92?
Yes, NR92, the station for the students.
Yeah.
Shout out all the kids there right now.
Yeah, for the kids. Don Cherry, for Tyler the kids, listen up.
And our friend Devin did a show called BTI Hockey.
Great show.
Every Tuesday, I think.
Critically acclaimed.
Yeah, critically acclaimed by us. So the big thing was you never acknowledge when someone swears. And I was in this heated speech, whatever I was doing.
Probably about something ridiculous.
Probably.
Ty Ratty not getting enough minutes.
And I dropped an F-bomb, and I paused immediately after. And the three of us just sat there in silence, and Tyler controlled the board. And then next thing you know, it was like, meh, 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 over the speakers. And Tyler just pressed the button. I was like, oh, well, rule number one of radio.
Yeah, we broke it.
Yeah.
So that's fine, though.
And now Tyler's crying about it.
Oh, that really hurt. I just couldn't get any, well, I couldn't get it out.
Kept putting your finger in your eye.
Well, how else do you get something out? It felt like there was a rock in my eye. Anywho, Connor McDavid, we have another tweet from Spec. I do like that every reporter is getting their tweets out, and we're just throwing them out there. That's what we're here for. Officially, McDavid has a lower body injury day-to-day, questionable for tomorrow against Vegas. Injury happened with roughly 5 to play in Calgary Saturday. Sounds like an injury, but not a major one. With playoffs around the corner, they'll be careful. He's not playing tomorrow. There's no way.
Probably.
The lineup Bob tweeted, that's going to be your lineup tomorrow. Want to bet?
No, I don't want to bet.
Okay, that's fine.
Bob said it, I believe. Bob.
Yeah.
He is a critically acclaimed reporter for the Oilers.
He is. 100%. Really appreciating all of your comments in the Charm Diamond Center's YouTube chat, where you can get a custom ring built and delivered in less than 4 weeks through Charm and their Masterpiece program. For more information, go to charmdiamondcenters.com, home of the proposed Charm Diamond Centers. Liam, you're still dropping in your comments. Buckaroo, look at that. Tyler, yesterday I had a hospital visit due to something in my eye. It sucks. See?
Are you okay?
Yeah. First off, are you okay, Buckaroo?
Never seen you in it.
Is there a Charm Diamond in Tyler's eye? No, that'd be so big.
Unvaluable.
I actually don't think I've gotten it out. I just think I've made it less irritable.
Okay, go like this. Put your finger over your eye and hold it down for 10 seconds.
I already closed my eyes for 10 seconds and I got scared.
It's too dark.
An abundance of caution is good this time of year. Are you talking about my eye or the McDavid injury?
My eyes are good.
Yeah, Nick makes a good point. I don't see McDavid getting the points trophy then. The Art Ross is the award for everything.
I think it is kind of getting out of reach a little bit too. There was a huge debate yesterday. This kind of helps our sound of the oil a little bit too. I don't know if we want to skip ahead to that. But so Matthews is getting close to 70 goals. McDavid's obviously getting close to his 100 assists. I think he has one.
Yeah.
And people were saying because Kucherov is close that McDavid's accomplishment isn't as good as Matthews.
Oh, yeah. And I'll fight people about that.
I just want to say one thing. And I've said this one before, and it's always Matthews and McDavid, but like, they're both incredible accomplishments. Yep. Can we just appreciate that? It doesn't need to be a debate. They're both totally different things.
They're great, but we're going to have the debate.
I know, but it's so stupid. Yep. And like the fact that people like Kucherov's doing it too, it's not as good. It's like, well, Kucherov's 7 back still.
Yep.
He'll probably do it, but
seven away. That's significant.
Well, he had 3 assists against Pittsburgh on Saturday.
Yeah, and they played Columbus tonight, so he could get 8 against the Blue Jackets. Yeah. He could. I'm not saying he won't, but like 5 games remaining, 8 assists. It's not a lock. Tampa doesn't have anything to play for. They might rest him.
I have to play 7 assists. And you said they played Columbus tonight?
Yeah, I've already placed a wager on them to win and Kucherov to get 2 points.
I'm going to place two assists.
Yeah. Okay. Get after it. Okay. Players who've scored 70 goals. You ready to do some counting on your fingers?
Yes.
Wayne
Hall.
Okay. Just let me. Wayne Gretzky.
Usually you want me to guess. Wayne Glensky.
Brett Hall. Mario Lemieux. Timu Solani. Alexander McGillivray. Phil Esposito. Yari Curry. Bernie Nichols. That's all of them. How many is that?
7.
You sure it wasn't 8?
Well, I don't know. You stuttered on the last word.
Okay. Okay, sure. We'll say 7. Players to get 100 assists.
Okay, I'll name them. Wayne Glensky.
1.
Colton Orr.
Bobby.
Mario Lemieux.
3. So something's been done by 7 players in NHL history. Uh-huh. Something's been done by 3 players in NHL history.
Do your own research, folks.
I don't know. I just think, again... And Frank and I went toe-to-toe today on DFO Live about this. He was like, scoring goals is the hardest thing to do in the sport.
I agree. And the fact McDavid has set up 99 people for a goal this season.
But there's 2 incredible assists on every goal, only 1 goal on every goal.
I just think they're both incredible.
They're both wildly impressive. They're both monumental accomplishments. But if you had to pick one, which one would you say is more impressive?
McDavid, because 3 players have done it. If it is that like, so Matthews, what, 65 goals?
Yeah.
McDavid had how many last year? 64,
yeah.
Well, Matthews is still 5 away from getting 70.
Needs 5 and 5. He hasn't done it yet, but now McDavid's hurt.
Da, 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 da.
All they need to do is play him like 3 shifts against the San Jose Sharks and he'll get an assist.
I just think, yeah. I think McDavid is better, but I also don't think the gap is anything crazy. Like the fact both of them have been able to do this in the same season just shows how great this season has been overall. I think when you really, really get down to the nitty gritty, this regular season across the NHL has been quite incredible.
Stars being stars.
The best players are buzzing.
Crosby might single-handedly drag a team to the playoffs.
In what is he now? He's 36, I think.
Yeah.
Almost 20 years in the NHL.
This season has been incredible.
The playoff races in both on both sides. the West not as good as the East by any means.
But well, the West was terrible. The East is great.
Oh, in playoff.
Yeah, playoff
races. Within the seeding
races.
It's been really, really fun. So I think it's been awesome. I think it's been a great season. Not, has there been like, even like guys like Matthew Rempe, the impact he's come in and put on this league this season has been amazing.
Gave it that old school feel.
Yeah, just a little bit of everything. Patrick Kane going to Detroit, going to Chicago and scoring the overtime winner.
That was a great return.
Like, there's so many to go through, but just crazy.
Okay, let's talk about this Eastern Conference race a little bit and go around the NHL. Our playoff race report is brought to you by DuraGuard. If you're looking for a trusted professional fence company in Alberta that can do it all, count on DuraGuard. For 37 years, they've been offering manufacturing, installing, and repair services, as well as a whole range of do-it-yourself solutions. The most highly trained and experienced fence installers operating the most modern fleet of equipment in Alberta. They're your one-stop shop, and they have been for over 37 years. Chain link, wood, vinyl, ornamental fencing, they got it all. DuraGuardFence.ca. Liam, yesterday, the Penguins lose in overtime. That is fine for them. It's not the end of the world. A regulation loss would have really taken a knock at their playoff chances. Losing an OT knocked them down a bit, but not a lot. They're now tied with the Detroit Red Wings. Pittsburgh holds the tiebreaker, but Detroit has the game in hand. That's crucial. They're 1 point back of the Islanders, and the Islanders have a game in hand. But again, the Penguins will hold the tiebreaker in that. If Washington wins their game in hand, they're going to leapfrog them. You see it all up on your screen right now. Philly is still somewhat in the hunt, although not really. It's interesting. But last night, Pittsburgh getting that point, that was huge. They scored a goal in the third period. It looked like they were kind of down and out, tied it up with under 10 minutes to go. That was a big win. The only thing that I think they're kicking themselves about, you can see the 0-for-5 right there. You score one power play goal, you've won that game in regulation, and you're in a much better spot.
I think the interesting thing about Pittsburgh down the stretch is their schedule. They have a game against Detroit, and they have a game against the Islanders. Mm-hmm. And also, I think Boston and Western team, Nashville. So their fate truly is in the palm of their hands, and they need to do it themselves. But getting a point is better than nothing. Again, a great playoff record, 36-30-12. Mm-hmm. I'm just really sucking up to the idea of Crosby getting back in and doing what he's done this season. Like, probably, like, outside of winning a Stanley Cup, one of his biggest accomplishments. Outside of silverware, I'll say. Is that fair to say?
Dragging this silverware.
Out dragging this piss poor Pittsburgh team to a playoff spot.
That's fair. The other game that we need to talk about from last night involves the, also Aaron, I emailed you a picture. If you want to take a peek at that, maybe get it on the screen for the end of this segment. Vegas and Vancouver.
Okay. Yep.
Vancouver down late, 7 minutes to go. Bang, bang, back-to-back goals. They walk away with a 4-3 win. Tomas Hertl makes his return to the lineup, makes his Golden Knights debut, picks up an assist. That didn't go the Oilers' way on the out-of-town scoreboard, because now it's just a little... Well, there's a pro and a con. The con is you're now 5 back of Vancouver. You still have 2 games in hand. You still have the head-to-head matchup. You still control your own fate to an extent in terms of the race for the top spot in the Pacific. So that's the con. The pro is that was Vegas's game in hand on LA. They're now below LA in the standings, which means if the playoffs started today, it's an Edmonton LA Kings first round, which we all agreed we preferred over Vegas.
Which is interesting, isn't it? Like, I understand it, but like, if a team lower in the standings is there, like, wouldn't you want to play them? It makes sense, but like, Vegas has not been great.
The Oilers beat LA in 5 or 6 games this year. The Oilers have a tough time with Vegas. That's my take.
They have a tough time with Vegas. How many times have they played this season? Twice?
3 times. Twice. Third time's coming up tomorrow.
We'll see.
All right, there you go. That's your look around the NHL brought to you by DuraGuard. And I got a bone to pick with the listeners, because I feel like I got a lot of shit yesterday. People being like, just go fix your fence. You don't need to use DuraGuard. You can just fix it. So I went out today. I took a picture of my GD fence to show you guys how effing broken it is. My neighbors keep leaning shit up against it. Like, last summer, there was tires on an old bike. The fence is basically falling over. Like, again, that fence was built in 1963.
That's
fence. Fixing that. DuraGuard, I'm hitting you up. We're getting this thing sorted out.
You need some support.
I feel like when I said my fence was broken, everyone thought like a board or two was loose.
Yeah.
No, like, it's not in the ground anymore. You can't see it. You can barely see it right at the bottom in the middle. I have a cinder block holding it up.
You can see too, the fence at the back is clearly much newer than the fence on the side.
And the fence on the other side is chain link. So it makes sense. I should just get chain link all around.
You have three different fences. I wouldn't go with chain link.
But it lasts longer.
Like the privacy.
But you can put the little slats in it, Liam.
Okay. You do what you want. It's your house.
I'll hit up Duragard. That's not why they're on the show. That's why it's a nice coincidence that they're starting on the show.
You have some leaves on the lawn there still, though.
I'm going to head to Duragard. I know. I got lazy.
The cinder block. Now.
There's the cinder block. Yeah. Like cinder block. I got a 2x4 in there holding it up. It's a disaster. I need a new fence. Duragardfence.ca. All right. Let's get out to the Star Mechanical guest line. I feel like we've already wasted a lot of Jason Demers' time. StarMechanical.ca, Edmonton's number one plumbing and heating company. Check them out online. Jason Demers, the former NHL defenseman. Like, I'm not fixing that fucking fence. That's ridiculous, right? I should get a new one.
Yeah, that's a tough fence. You need to get a new one. That's a tough fence. You can't be rolling around doing this nice, great podcast and be sitting in that fence.
Yeah,
you have to stare at that every day. So you need at least spray it. Give me some, like, painted a different color or something.
You could do copper and blue.
Yeah, I don't know.
One panel blue, one panel.
You run that idea past Amber and see what she says about the idea of me painting the fence copper and blue, Liam. Jason, we were having a debate. We'll get to the hockey talk now. 100 assists for Connor McDavid, or if Austin Matthews gets to 70 goals, which one's more impressive?
It's so tough because they're both just, I find they're just so equally amazing seasons and what Connor's done. And I mean, the points to go with the assists is incredible. Like, so the goals that he's put up as well, Connor. But, you know, Matthews has had an equally impressive season. It's so hard. You know, I value more, you know, if he gets to 70, and we kind of all had this funny handshake deal. I feel like everybody were like, if he gets 70, it's like the greatest season you could put together. And now that all these other guys, Connor included, have had these incredible seasons, everybody's kind of just like, well, 75. Like 75 goals now. 70 is not enough. It's just, it's probably the best offensive season I've seen in my memory in my life ever. So it's so hard to put weight on which is better. They're both teams are kind of having the same kind of season as a team. It's me personally, I love what Connor's doing and Joe Thornton, for him to have gotten 100 assists in a season. I think it's so incredible. And I feel like somebody's going to get over 70 goals eventually in the NHL. I think it's one of those things that's going to happen, and it'll probably be Austin. So for me, kind of riding the fence, so to speak, and not trying to pick one or the other, cause it is too tough, but I'd probably say if he gets 70, it's Austin. I think it's impressive, but you know, I think Connor right now, cause he's not going to finish at 100 assists. He's probably going to end with 110 maybe. The way he's going, he gets 110. That's absolutely incredible. Like he's looking at his schedule, you know, he can get it. So yeah. It's interesting to see. I mean, look at his numbers, like the last 10 games, it's ridiculous. He's not human. And what he does with this team is incredible. So I think 100 assists is great. Just like 70 goals, I think is incredible, but he's going to get way past 100 assists. So we'll see where he ends up.
Yeah, over the weekend, big performances for McDavid. 2 goals against the Avs, 2 apples against the Calgary Flames. But from a team perspective, those were 2 really impressive wins. You go out, hand it to the Avs 6-2 on Friday night. Next night, you fly down to Calgary, short flight, but you go on the road, pick up 2 points against a rival. Did the Oilers show you anything in that win against Colorado, maybe even in that win against Calgary, to... we'll call it erase maybe some of the doubts coming off that 5-0 loss to Dallas? Like, we had question marks after that one. Yeah. Did they erase any of that with the way they handled the Avs?
The Avs is 100 times more impressive than the Calgary game. I know, you know, Calgary's, it's a rival, but they're kind of out of it. You know, they don't really have, the roster's not great and they're kind of preparing for next season. So even though there is little tinges of that rivalry in the game, guys don't like each other and it's just the way it is. It's not the same as it was if they were competing for a spot. But that game against the Avalanche was incredible to watch. They beat up on the Avalanche. They took it to them. I mean, specifically Matthias Ekholm was the best game I've seen him play as an Oiler was that game. And not so much offensively, but, you know, which he still had an amazing offensive game, but what he did defensively and stymieing that top line, injuring Rantanen, he not only knocked out Rantanen, he hit him in the first just as hard behind the net and could have knocked him out there and then knocked him out, put him in concussion protocol. He was playing mean. All the D played tight defensively. They were playing tough. Goaltending was great. And up front, they were dynamic, you know, and I like the kind of lines that they put together. And I think it was their best team win that I've seen in a while. And for me, I was like, okay, this is a playoff ready team. Like, they're ready for playoffs now. I had some doubts after that Dallas game. I watched that Dallas game and I didn't like the way it was, how it looked. And they kind of, you know, Edmonton has the weird, when they're not switched on mentally and they're kind of in that, this is going to be easy. They lull themselves to sleep, you know, Leon and guys like that, they'll just kind of go on their own page and not playing the team game that makes them so good. It hurts them. And then it kind of takes a game like Dallas to kind of shoot them back into the present moment. And then they kind of go on their way and they're the team, the dominant team that they can be. So it's just, it's great to see. And it quelled a lot of my fears, but it also raises the question of like, you can't do that in the playoffs. Like, you can't have a lull and then shoot back in, because, you know, in the playoffs, the games are going to be played tighter. And if you kind of have that 5-0 game they did in Dallas and then try to bounce back, well, if you lose one of those two games where even though you're out playing the other team, the goalie steals the game, now you're down, you just lost two. So it's a weird way to look at it, but, you know, they have to stay switched on the rest of the year. Like, they can't have a lull going into the postseason, because the West is just, we talked about it last time I was on it, it's just a gauntlet. And all these teams I would say this is the year in the West, every team could win a cup in this division over the East. The East maybe has two teams I'd give it to, you know, other than the Kings, which I don't think are there goaltending wise, like seven of these teams could win the cup. So it's like, you can't take a game off, especially down the stretch. Like, you got to make sure, because as a coach too, for Knobloch, like, you got to know what lines you want to roll into come playoff time. And then you also need to know what lines, if things are going bad, you can go to. So they just need to kind of stay switched on, and guys need to make sure that everything in the room is tight. So, which it has been the last two games.
One other thing that happened over the weekend, and it got calmed down yesterday, but Corey Perry and Evander Kane had their discussion, we'll call it, on the bench. I think there was one person having a discussion, the other one was listening. What did you make of that situation? And I guess, have you been around anything like that before where maybe someone is calling him out so aggressively, we'll call it, on the bench?
Yeah, run the clip, AB, too.
I'll just tell you right now, I grew up in the league this way, and I was on some teams where the bench was like a war zone. It was worse than on the ice. Like, if you missed a pass, you'd have seven guys down your throat. You'd be, you know, is swear words allowed on this?
Oh, yeah. I dropped an F-bomb earlier. It's fine.
Okay, great. You'd be getting motherfucked. You'd be motherfucking guys. You'd be screaming at the forwards, wake up. You'd be getting yelled back, we'll make a pass. And it's, I think for me, like, I just think I'm more engaged when it's that way. And I think you keep guys engaged. And guys like Kaner, I think, need that. You know, I think Perry's the perfect guy to have on that team, because Kaner's one of those guys. And, you know, listen, I'll give him his flowers. He's one of the more talented shooters, power forwards in the NHL. But he can get disinterested if he's not the focal point of offense and he's not kind of catered to. And it's nothing against him at all. I just think he needs to – there's guys in the league that need to play a lot of minutes to be effective. And when they're not getting those minutes, they're not – they don't like it. And it's, you know, listen, we all want to play heavy minutes, but he's more effective when he's kind of playing, when he's engaged. So I think having Corey Perry there is phenomenal. I don't think there's anything to it other than he was yelling at him and Kaner was probably giving it right back to him, which I think Kaner should, but that's a good thing. Like, they need a guy on that bench that can give it to Kaner, because I think it'll help Kaner, and whether Kaner wants to admit it or not, like, you know, I have a huge respect for his game, but it's good to have those guys that can cattle prod certain guys, because, you know, a coach might not be able to get that out of him, but Corey Perry, with his stature and what he's done in his career, like, he can sit there and be like, hey, like, that's not good enough. Like, we need better. And maybe Leon and Connor can't quite, you know, they're more lead from by example. They'll kind of yell and stuff, but you need a guy like Corey that can grab him by the scruff and just tell him like, hey, let's go. And for Kaner, I think it's he probably likes that as well, because he might need that. And then, you know, I thought he played a great game, and it's one of those things. It's, I think him and Perry are huge X factors for this playoff run. Like, they need those two guys with fire every game, because they're the guys that are going to pull the other team, you know, get them distracted and kind of pull them out of their game and allow these top guys on offensively to kind of like Leon, Connor, Hyman, just allow those guys to kind of operate freely. And they're going to play maybe a more undercover, not as, say, you know, not a, how would I put that word? Like, it just not a game that's going to like get tons of accolades, but it's going to be effective, and it's going to be the difference in them winning the cup or not winning the cup. So I think I wouldn't worry about it. I know it's fun in Canada for media, love seeing that, because they get to jump all over it, and it's a talking point for 3 days. But I played with Joe Thornton, and I mean, I never heard a guy ream out. I got reamed out every game and every practice, and made me better. And you see which guys are competitors and which guys aren't. So, and Kaner responded great to it. So more power to him. And I thought the way they handled it in the media was phenomenal. You know, they're like, we're brothers. It's we fight. And that's should be dead at that. So it's really encouraging for me to see that.
And their partners in the Masters pool that the team's doing this week. So that's a big bonding moment as well.
That is.
You're talking about Corey Perry and the impact. I mean, impact in the room, notable. He's a guy who's come in, he's scoring at like an 18-19 goal pace over 82 games with the Oilers. I know he hopped in midway through the year. The other thing too, and you touched on it, is his ability to get under the skin of the other team. You spent a bulk of your career in the Pacific Division battling Corey Perry. Is that like a legit factor? And can you tell us about maybe a moment or something you remember Corey Perry always doing that really drove you nuts?
Well, I always kind of, when I played, I had that in me as well. So I always kind of knew guys like that were a little bit borderline on the edge, and I'd try to go after them. And he's such a big guy. And, you know, I'm sure we had a ton of battles. You know, those years with Anaheim and San Jose was some amazing rivalries, because we were such both great teams. And they had such a great roster with Bobby Ryan and Getzlaff and Niedermeyer Pronger. I mean, the list goes on, but yeah, he's just a rat. Like, it just is what it is. Like, he knows, he's so good at timing when the refs aren't looking to just give you a shot, or at the right time of the game, he just bumps you in a certain way that just pisses you off. And guys like that are hard to play against, because you want to take a run at him and kill him, but you're also like, you know, they know what's going on in the ice. He's a great player as well. It's not like he's a rat and a bad hockey player. Like, he's very skilled. He's on an 18-19 goal pace, and he knows where his body is in space and where the guys are on the ice. So it's not like he's easily hittable. So you're also like, kind of get frustrated in that way, because you're like trying to chase him around, but you can't chase him around the ice because he's got a great stick net front and he can score goals. So you're like, this son of a bitch. It's just more maddening than anything. So he's a huge role. I think it was such a great pickup by Ken Holland and the Brain Trust to bring him in. And he's going to be a big factor come playoff time for sure, which he has been on every team he's played on in the latter part of his career.
Dylan Holloway got recalled to the Oilers today. And, you know, he goes down to the American League. He does really well. Then he comes up and he doesn't find his way as easy, I guess is fair to say. What do you think of Holloway's game and maybe a perfect way to slot him into the lineup could be?
It's tough because he's kind of a Broberg-esque where I love him as a kid. I played with both of them. He's such a great kid and wants to learn and wants to be a top guy. But it's hard to learn how to play 9 minutes a game. Mm-hmm. And as a young kid that's that talented, his whole career he's played 20-plus minutes. He's played first power play. He's the focal point of the offense. how do you handle that as a kid, as you come into a team and now you're playing 9 minutes, no power play. You can't be a factor offensively. You maybe have one or two shifts where you'll have a chance to be offensively forward thinking, and you can't give up any goals again. So typically a guy like that is, he might give up some goals defensively like Connor does. Like they'll, you know, they'll have miscues defensively, but they'll always get it back because they have 22, 23 minutes and they're so good offensively. So for him, it's learning how to play away from the puck. So he goes down in the A and he crushes it because she's getting 20 minutes a night, first power play, and that's his game. So, I mean, other than slotting him on the first or second line, he's probably going to have to go down and play. And just when I talk to kids like that, that are playing, I say, listen, you may not want to do it, but you have to play physical and you got to play defensive and try to create something offensively off of a forecheck, because you're not going to get these clean looks. Because also you're not playing with Connor and Leon or, you know, in the minors, you have Seth Griffith, you have Lane Peterson, guys that are proven AHL scorers. So you're playing with bottom six guys that have a more defensive minded role. So you have to play a different game. So it's learning how to play within that game. And I know fans look at him, they're like, well, he's not producing. Well, it's like, it's the same thing with Broberg. Those guys need to play 20 minutes a night and they have to learn, because they can't, because there's no room right now. They have to learn how to play 7-8 minutes and be effective. And that's as hard as an NHL player as being effective at 22, 23 minutes. So for him, it's hopefully it comes up, you know, just be physical, be good defensively. And when you can get a chance to get some offense, you got to capitalize on it. So it's easier said than done, but he's kind of a kid that he's very strong willed and wants to be a top guy. So I think it's only a matter of time. And if he doesn't get his opportunity here, he'll get it somewhere else.
I always think whenever I hear stuff like that about Andrew Cogliano early in his Oilers career, like first round pick, okay, he's going to be a top six center who scores 25 goals, all of this stuff. And he had to have the, call it a come to Jesus moment one summer where it was like, whoa, like I'm never going to be that guy. If I want to stick in the league, I need to learn how to kill penalties. I need to learn to be effective in my 12, 15 minutes. And he ended up playing 1,000 games in the NHL, right? Like for every example, like Cogliano, there's 5-6 guys who just never quite figure that out. And I think for the
Oilers, 5-6, there's
and figure out how to be that guy is everything. Yeah.
There's for every one guy like Cogliano, there's 100 that just, and you hit it on the head. It's adaptability. And you have to constantly be looking at yourself in the mirror, because listen, when I played hockey, yeah, of course I came to the league. I was offensive minded and was more of a offensive forward thinking player. And I was playing power play. And I said, you know what, this is, I'm not going to play. I don't want to play if I'm not playing power play and offensive, you know, offensive situations. And it's not fun to play D. And then you realize quickly that, or you don't realize that, you know, if you don't fit in on a team, there's guys that are better than you offensively. So what happens if there's six guys better than you offensively? Well, you got to find out where to fit on that bottom six. So, and you got to change your game. And it sucks because that's the business side of things. That's awful. But again, we all wish that all the offensive guys could play and all the defensive guys. If there's not enough, there's, you know, 20 to 25 spots on a team. And you got to find a way where you fit on that team. So you have to constantly be taking stock, unless you're Connor McDavid or Leon that are so gifted offensively that you're leaps and bounds better than everybody, that you're just going to be there no matter what. But you take a look at Zach Hyman and he finds a way to mold his game into what's needed by the team. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is another guy. He's a top, you could say he's a top winger on 80% of the rosters in the NHL. But on this team, he has to take it more defensive. He learned how to play great defensively while adding an offense. He's become one of the best two-way centers in the league. So it requires you to check in with yourself and take the ego out of it. And, you know, when I was with Dylan in the minors, you know, and Brad Malone's a great mentor to him as well. And something we kind of tried to tell him is like, you have to find a way to make it in no matter what and bide your time so you could be that offensive guy. And if that never comes, well, do you either want to be stubborn and play in the AHL and NHL your career? Or do you want to say, hey, listen, take my medicine. I'm going to make sure I do whatever I can to stay in the league and play a long career. So it's just more what you put stock in as a player. So, but I think he's a kid that's kind of figured it out, and hopefully he kind of keeps building on his game.
As always, Jason, appreciate the insight, man. Thanks for hopping on again, and we'll chat with you next week.
Hey, appreciate it. See you, boys. We got the time zones down, so we're good now.
Yeah, we got it all.
That was me. It's much as me as you guys. I'm sitting there. I'm like, oh yeah, I got an hour, and then I didn't look at my phone, and I get home, and I'm like, oh fuck's sakes, not again. Arizona strikes again.
Goddamn daylight savings time. All right, thanks, man.
Hey, thanks, guys. Take care.
There you go. Jason DeMers on the Star Mechanical guest line. You can trust your local Star. Head to starmechanical.ca to find out more information, residential, commercial, and 24/7 emergency service. Bang.
There you go.
Jason DeMers was great. And yeah, nice. Yesterday we forgot, just so people can understand what we were talking about at the end there. We forgot that Arizona doesn't do daylight savings time, or they only do it half the year, whatever. So we forgot they're not in the same time zone as us anymore versus at the beginning of the year they would have been.
So now they're an hour behind.
They're an hour behind.
Which we should have known that because we just went.
But when we were there, it was the same time.
Son of a gun. They got me.
When I go back next week to watch the Oilers in Mullet Arena again, they'll be an hour behind. So I'll have to be up at 11 for this show.
Well,
if he's in Arizona, I should see if maybe I'll do the show with him. Go to his house. Hey, Jason, can I come over?
Should have asked him. Get him back.
Yeah, bring him back on. All right, let's continue along with the show. We got to get to Sounds of the Oil for today. It's brought to you by Snow Valley and the Rainbow Valley Campground. The Snow Valley Aerial Park's opening up May 31st, 5-6 weeks away. Rainbow Valley Campground is the only campground in the city of Edmonton. You can book online, rainbow-valley.com. Liam, what do we got for Sounds of the Oil?
This is Chris Knobloch talking about Connor McDavid hitting almost 100 assists.
Oh, that's timely. Let's take a listen.
No, it's been amazing. I watched him in junior, and now I'm getting to see doing very similar things to what he was doing in junior. And now he's doing it at the highest level. And, you know, I think the entire team is very excited for him to accomplish that. You look at the three other players have done it. It's quite a list. And, you know, it's, you know, when that time happens and, everyone's going to have huge congratulations for him. And, you know, hopefully we're on the winning side on that night when that happens.
I ate 7 raspberries in that 30-second clip.
Wow.
What'd you make of what Chris Knobloch said?
Yeah, I think it will be a very special night when it inevitably happens. I can't wait. I'm sure you're getting 1,000 points, so.
Yeah, it feels like the ship's kind of sailed on that one, and it doesn't, or there's a chance that that 100th assist won't be coming tomorrow. Connor McDavid, if you missed the beginning of the show, day-to-day with a lower body injury, suffered the injury in the final 5 minutes of the Oilers' win over the Calgary Flames on Saturday. A lot of people talking about Arizona, what's going on. Rusty says, you're going to be at the last game in Mullet Arena. Hey, that's sick. Could be.
Oh, yeah.
Could be. That land deal not looking good. The mayor of Scottsdale was like, I don't want you to build it.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Wow. What did Frank say?
Frank retweeted it. But I guess it's where they want to build it. It's like just on the other side of the road from Scottsdale city limits. So the mayor like maybe doesn't have any say. Oh, I don't know.
Interesting. It's just they're not welcome there, unfortunately, for Coyotes fans, which does suck. And we should see it from that perspective a little bit more too. Like, but it's just not worked for a long, long time down there. And it probably is time to move on. Rusty and the Utah boys.
Rome says, I swear when I watch Cody Ceci blast the puck from the blue line, it gives me Sheldon Surrey vibes.
Yeah, I felt that too.
The only way I want Ceci to give me Sheldon Surrey vibes is for him to go on LTIR for all of next season.
Do you remember that? Never mind.
Okay.
Go on.
Got a raspberry seed stuck in my teeth, so probably shouldn't have eaten those during the show.
It's not in your eye.
All right, let's continue along with the DoorDash or the menu for our friends at DoorDash. 25% off, 0 delivery fees on your first order of $25 or more. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. Take advantage of the Double Dash feature. It lets you add a second stop onto your DoorDash order for 0 extra delivery fees. All right, what do we got on the menu? New episode of Oilers Nation Radio going to drop in about 2.5-3 hours.
Yeah, that'll be good.
That'll be good.
Dan's 3v3 today.
Ooh, and they play the Golden Knights tomorrow. So I wonder what we'll be doing there.
Do you want me to tell you? You're going to be surprised.
No, tell me.
We're going to pick 3 Vegas hotels and our favorite cap dump trade.
Okay. We should just do three favorite parts about the city of Vegas.
Nope, not your game.
I know it's not my game. Here's
your own game, make your own.
I know. Couple of big games tonight in the NHL. Washington taking on Detroit at 5 o'clock. That one will be massive. Phillies in Montreal. They're trying to keep their slim playoff hopes alive. And out west, LA takes on Anaheim. Again, LA chance to distance themselves from the Vegas Golden Knights a little bit as well. Winnipeg's in Nashville. Minnesota is in Colorado. Winnipeg has a chance with a win and a goal and a Colorado loss to catch the Colorado Avalanche for the 2 seed, and Winnipeg holds a tiebreaker. So that one could be important as well.
That'll be a big game then. Oh, and then playoffs.
Can't really catch anyone?
4 games left? No, that's...
But they're trying to, I think, hold off Vegas.
Yeah, for sure. I was just wondering if they could catch up and we can get Winnipeg-Nashville series and then Vancouver, Colorado.
Because right now, if things were to end, one side of the bracket is Dallas, Vegas, Colorado, Winnipeg. The other side is Vancouver, Nashville, Edmonton, LA, which again, I think is best case scenario for Edmonton is to have on one side of the bracket the four other true tier one Stanley Cup contenders. I have Vancouver and Nashville as tier two. I have LA as tier three. Tier one, I have Dallas, Colorado, Winnipeg, Edmonton, and Vegas. And if you could have four of those teams on the opposite side and not have played them to the conference finals, that's a win.
You think LA is the eighth
best team? LA is the eighth best team.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
Yeah. The Toronto Blue Jays back in action today. Did you catch any of the home opener yesterday?
Yeah, I saw they changed their camera angle.
People were really upset about the way it looks now. And here's what I'll say. Okay, go ahead.
Isn't the rest of the league look like that?
We Blue Jays fans bitched and complained for years that Rogers Center doesn't look like a ballpark. It looks like an arena, or it looks like a stadium that you're playing baseball in. And people complain. They complain. Now it looks like a ballpark. And people are complaining that it doesn't look the same as before. Like you can't have... people complaining just love complaining for the sake of complaining. You're still watching baseball. The camera angle is fine. The new stadium looks incredible. I can't wait to go. The only thing I would complain about is I almost think if you're going to sell those tickets behind home plate as VIP tickets, which they are, you need to almost have a handshake agreement with everyone there that like you need to stay till the end of the game if it's close.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was a bad look to have, again, the Jays finish off that victory. They win 5-2, 5-3, whatever the final was yesterday. I'm just totally blanking on it.
5-2.
It was 5-2, but they win yesterday and behind home plate, there's like three people there.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't watch. Because everyone gets up and leaves from the VIP section.
Fake fans, really. They're not.
Totally.
Fair weather fans.
Mm-hmm. Tonight, the Jays.
I have another thing on the menu.
Jays are throwing Chris Bassett to the mound to go up against George Kirby, looking for their second straight win over the Mariners. What do you got for the menu?
Ukraine, Lebanon, bronze medal game, Heritage Cup.
Go, Andrea.
Go, Ukraina. I believe it's how you say Ukrainian. Yeah, it is.
Okay.
I think Ukraina. I've said it wrong all week, so I probably said it again wrong, incorrectly, but that's Ukraine for people who don't know.
All right.
Against Lebanon, two great footballing nations.
Best of luck.
Best of luck.
Are you going to go watch?
I will be there. I've been to every game. It's really fun.
Season holder.
Heritage Cup, the mini World Cup that's going on. It's all great. It's good to see. I'm very well supported too. It's a good time. But again, no phone service.
But you got to actually focus and watch the game. I get it. Betway for today. I got a couple of plays that I actually kind of love around the sporting landscape and around the NHL. Right now with our friends at Betway, you can get yourself a free bet up to $200. If your first bet loses, simply create a new account by scanning the QR code on your screen and redeem your bonus. Place a bet, no minimum amount required. And if the bet loses, you'll get a refund up to $200. You can then use that money to bet on your favorite sports as offers available only outside of Ontario. Get in the action for the Oilers or before the playoffs get rolling around. Gonna want to get in.
Yep. Winning, you're in.
I'm a little bit nervous about my rollover bet if Connor McDavid's not in the lineup tomorrow.
I was thinking about that. It's going to be interesting.
You know what I love today? Take the Dallas Stars on the puck line. Take the Tampa Bay Lightning on the puck line. Sandwich those two bad boys together in a nice juicy parlay. I hit this last week when I did the Lightning and the Panthers on a little puck line parlay. And I like doing it again tonight. I think you get it at like plus 475.
Should we make a big mega bet?
Do you want to do another mega parlay?
Yes.
You took the words right out of my mouth. We were actually pretty close last time.
Really close.
Really close. All right, let's do it. Mega parlay, Liam. We'll start with the two I just said, which were puck lines for the Tampa Bay Lightning against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Where's that one?
Okay, and then the next one is Florida Ottawa, right?
Wait, one sec. I just want to make sure I get these two in. NHL. Okay, I'll just go in order of what Betway has listed, okay?
Okay.
Carolina, Boston. We got to pick a money line or an over-under.
Tie.
You think it's going to overtime?
I mean, every Boston game is wrong.
Good point. Okay. Overtime.
Okay.
Washington, Detroit.
In Detroit. We'll say Detroit.
Okay. Detroit, straight up, money line, minus 150. Ottawa, Florida.
Florida. Just go money line.
No, I'm going puck line.
All right.
I believe in that Florida Panthers team. Minus 105 on the puck line. This is going to be a juicy parlay, Liam. Oh, yeah. Are we actually going to do every game?
How many are there?
Well, it's a full 36. Slate tonight.
36. Last year. It's a Harry Potter quote.
You're a rascal. Okay, actually, we're almost out of time on the show. Philly, Montreal. Philly, Montreal, we're going with the over.
Philly, yeah, over. Yeah.
Yeah, over. Okay. Yeah. The next game we got, sorry, there's over 5.5. It takes me a while to click through this. Toronto and New Jersey. Toronto. All right. New York.
Oh, Rangers.
Columbus, Tampa, we're going puck line. Dallas, Buffalo, we are going Dallas Stars on the puck line. That's plus 105 as well. That's a good play on a straight bet, by the way. Winnipeg, Nashville.
Winnipeg.
Yeah, okay, I like that. Minnesota, Colorado.
Colorado.
Okay, Colorado. LA, Anaheim.
Go Kings, go.
Yotes, Kraken.
Over.
Ooh, I like that. Calgary, San Jose.
Oh boy.
Calgary's due for a win. We're going over in Arizona and there. So Liam, these bad boys all played together. $1 into $2,305.
Well, tomorrow you'll be paying for lunch.
Sounds good. Or Friday when we have Christopher Palmer in the studio.
True.
All right. That is a wrap on today's edition of the show. Big shout out to Jason Demers for swinging by and giving us some time today. Go play the Wendy's Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool as well. We'll be back tomorrow. Frank Saravalli on the show. And it's a Sherwood Ford Giant Game edition of the program. Don't miss it. Noon Mountain Time. Have a good Tuesday.